Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go! The fourth, the final hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Final hour of the show comes in three parts. Segment number one, just about to get underway here. In mere seconds from this moment, we're talking NFL football. I have got a cluster of teams that I think could be dark horse contenders for a playoff spot. Not necessarily conference championship games, though, maybe, you never know. But could be dark horse teams for a playoff spot. In segment number two, coming up here in right about 19 minutes from right now, a segment that I have never, ever once in my life forgotten about, Fight Club with the great Lonzo. Where we will, I assume, though I have not seen the rundown for it because I like to be surprised. I'm assuming.
Yeah, surprise, like, oh, that's today? That guy's surprised? Yeah.
No, that would only be if I was surprised by the segment, which I'm definitely and clearly
not. All right.
Go back and revisit last weekend's SummerSlam PLE. May or may not have more discussion about the major announcement made yesterday of the partnership between WWE and ESPN.
Oh, we will, including some comments by one Pat McAfee.
Interesting. So we will get to that in Fight Club in segment two. And in segment number three, we'll talk a little college football on the radio program because I heard a couple of takes yesterday about the two teams, the two major teams that we cover here in the market, South Carolina and Clemson, that I would like to address. So that's what this hour looks like. Let's dive right in with segment numero uno, and that is, again, the National Football League. Because you may or may not be aware, if you are not, sit down and make sure your socks are squarely and appropriately secured, as this next statement may blow them off.
No. Please let that die.
Your brownies shan't be burned when I tell you that today is football day.
All right, you got one more. You got to throw in the bikini thing, and then you're good.
When evaluating the teams that I consider dark horse contenders in the National Football League, teams that maybe have a low win-loss total out of Las Vegas, teams that I believe maybe have a little bit more talent than other folks believe that they have, etc., I evaluate them a number of ways. The first way that I evaluate teams I believe are dark horse teams is by statistics, which are like a bikini. They show a lot, but not everything, as the very popular expression goes. The second way I evaluate them is based on the chemistry I have seen and what changes have been made in the offseason to it, how I believe that additions and subtractions may impact the team, and then, of course, the third is, what's the schedule looks like? How's the schedule set up? Are they in a division that maybe isn't as stacked top to bottom as others are? Did they catch one of the easier out-of-conference or out-of-division schedules? Did the out-of-division schedule games maybe line up for them? If your division is, say, playing the NFC East this year, which is an exceptional division, and you get road games against the Giants and the Cowboys, but the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders are coming to your house, you've got it easier than a team who's got it the other way around. have to go to Philadelphia and D.C. and get the Giants and the Cowboys coming to the crib. So here are some of the dark horse teams that I am in on. I will start with this team. I do not think that this team is going to make the playoffs this year. I do think it is very possible this team makes the playoffs next year. And that team is the New England Patriots. I am in on the Pats moving forward, but in on the Pats. Let's start with this. In division, obviously the Buffalo Bills are right there. The Buffalo Bills are going to, I will not say win, but are going to be contending as they do annually behind physics psychopath Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen. The Bills are going to be in contention for the best regular season record in the AFC this year. They will be in contention for the number one seed until the very end of the year, whether they win it or they lose it. It is their division still. This is not going to change. But I am in on the New England Patriots for a couple of reasons. Number one, it has been no secret that Lonzo and I both like Mike Vrabel as a coach. It is no secret that I think the Tennessee Titans made a massive mistake by blaming their shortcomings on Mike Vrabel when he was the head coach there and relieving him of his duties. I think the Tennessee Titans are just an inept franchise, and even with Cam Ward, they are probably still a long way from the top if they want to rock and roll. I like Mike Vrabel a lot, and I like Mike Vrabel because I was already working on the assumption that even if it is with a very rare mindset of former players, that being former player who never grew up. You know, I've said for a long time, the reason that the chemistry of this show works is because while Zoe and I are both big smart boy adults, we also have the ability to just revert to being teenagers and having a giggle every now and then. That's Mike Vrabel, except instead of being radio show host who takes X's and O's very seriously, but can also laugh hilariously at a good wiener joke, Mike Vrabel goes from a guy who has the head coach responsibility and behavior, but can snap back into psychopath inside linebacker whenever he needs to. How do we know that? Because yesterday at a joint practice between the aforementioned Washington Commanders and the New England Patriots, a fight broke out. Nothing unusual. This happens at joint camps all the time. What does not happen at joint camps all the time is that when a fight breaks out and when a scrum involving multiple players from both teams begins, what does not often happen is one of the head coaches sprinting across the practice field and not grabbing dudes by the shoulder pads and trying to pull them off the pile. Nay, Mike Vrabel went headfirst into it, jumped onto and into that pile as if he was still New England Patriots starting linebacker Mike Vrabel and not New England Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel. Vrabel came out of that pile with a bloodied face, had to get bandaged up, had to hold an ice pack to what I assume is going to be a beautiful little shiner when it's all said and done. But what I love about it is not that Vrabel did that, though I do like that a lot. What I love about it is that after practice was over, a number of players, including starting quarterback Drake May, including wide receiver DeMario Pop Douglas, when they got asked about it, they were grinning ear to ear like big stinking idiots who just got a free beer at the bar. They were losing their minds. DeMario said, that just shows you the love that dude's got for the team. That he, unpadded, unhelmeted, unprotected, was willing to go face first into a pile of NFL players to try to help his guys out. Drake May said, that shows you the mentality we are building here on this football team. And I'm in on it. I'm all in on it. I don't think it's a playoff team this year. I think they will be in the next couple. Let me give you another surprise team that I think is going to be in the mix this year. I have them winning their division this year. And no, it is not the Carolina Panthers, primarily because I've been telling you that for like 2 weeks. It's not a secret anymore. You know who I have winning the division? A team that I think is very much not just on the rise, but I think may do so rapidly. The Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm in on the Jags this year. I think the Jags are going to be a very good football team this year.
Okay. Why?
I'm glad you asked. Because I was planning on telling you. The answer to that is multifold. Great one. The first one is, the more I see of, the more I hear of, new Jacksonville coach Liam Duval Cohen, the more I'm kind of starting to like this guy. Honestly. You know what he gives? He gives Dave Canales with more personality vibes. Now, I like Dave Canales a lot. I had questions about the hiring of Dave Canales. Not like I did with Shane Beamer at South Carolina, but I had some questions. Dave answered all of them, as far as I'm concerned. The very first press conference, Dave Canales got up there. Somebody said, hey, can you give us your offensive philosophy? Can you give us your perspective on running an NFL offense? And Dave Canales got up there, and he did not open up with a bunch of coaching platitudes. He talked ball. He X'd and O'd us. And for those of us who love some X's and some O's, it's pretty dope. Liam Cohen's kind of the same way right now. He's talking ball. And Liam Cohen, when he gets on a mic, I saw him on an interview on NFL Network earlier this week. When he talks ball, I hear a dude who gets it. Now, there was a lot of question marks about Liam Cohen and his leadership primarily because of the way that he left Tampa Bay. You may all remember because we talked about it at the time because I was, am, remain looking out for Trevor Lawrence, to be honest, because I think he's the prototype. I think he can be I don't think he can be good. I think Trevor Lawrence can still be a great NFL quarterback. And the good numbers around Trevor Lawrence bear that out. Highly accurate, good in the red zone. Like, the numbers are there. The problem is all the negatives. And I do believe a lot of that comes down to Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback who can sometimes allow his emotion to get the best of him. And if he is not set up for success and things go sideways, he's not the guy. And this is, I think, more than anything else. If he never makes it to the upper echelon of NFL quarterbacks, this would be the reason. When something goes sideways for TL, I think it infects him. And I do think guys like that can be successful. I just think they got to have somebody there to serve as the counterbalance, the weight, the guy that keeps them grounded in what needs to be done and not what happened when something goes sideways. I think that's Liam Cohen. Here's the other thing. I've been talking to people down in Jacksonville. I've got friends there. I live there, the butthole of America. I've got people who cover the Jags that I stay close to, that I talk to. Travis Hunter might be the real deal. Now, I won't even say neutral. I was straight up pessimistic. And still to some degree am. Liam Cohen said in that same NFL Network interview, which was either yesterday or the day before, that he was asked, what's the plan for Travis Hunter playing both sides of the football? And Liam Cohen said, the plan is for him to play both sides of the football. Now, he did point out that he has been surprisingly adept at picking up wide receivers specifically. But he said there are spots on defense. There are going to be spots where we believe rolling him out there in a nickel or a dime is best for the team. And we are going to do that. But from what I've heard as a wide receiver, and again, very little pads, very little active defense. We'll find out on Saturday when the Jags go in preseason game number one. From what I've heard, Travis Hunter as a wide receiver might be the real deal. May very well be. Undersized, but remember, we also said that Devontae was undersized when he got to the league, and all he's been doing is be a weapon for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm buying in on Liam Cohen. He's giving me Dave Canales, but with more personality vibes. A guy who understands the job of the head coach is not force the players into your system. It's to force your system onto the players, to adapt to them. And from what I understand, he's doing a pretty good job on that. The Houston Texans have one big problem. It is not C.J. Stroud. It is not the wide receiver core. It's not the defense. Their big problem is they may have one of the worst offensive lines in football this year. And I don't care who you put back there. If you have one of the worst offensive lines in football, it's going to be a slog. I think the Texans are going to be fine. I think they're going to be a 8-win team. I got nothing for the Colts. I got no optimism for the Colts. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that everybody's healthy, and I hope for his sake that Anthony Richardson is able to reverse course and be a dude. Otherwise, Danny Dimes is the guy, and I don't think he's the guy. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are winning the AFC South this year. Another surprise team. I don't know if they're a big surprise. I won't go in-depth on it because we talked about them earlier in the show. If you want to hear that, go to thefanupstate.com. Go back to the first hour where I talked about them at length, but I think the Las Vegas Raiders are a pleasant surprise this year. Now, in fairness, much like the Saints, a pleasant surprise might be an 7-win football team, an 8-win football team. But they seem to be. Whether this is good or not, I think is pretty much determined whether you're an old-school Raiders fans or not. They seem to be kind of dropping that old Raiders mentality, that old we will murder you mentality, and they seem to be adopting a more, hey, we're going to be a fun offense. Wide open, Geno Smith's a guy, he can move a little bit, Pete Carroll's that dude. They seem to be adopting Pete Carroll's mentality, not, hey, let's pretend, let's cosplay like we're the 1965 Oakland Raiders. If Ashton Jante's a dude, if Geno Smith and Pete Carroll work well together, this team could surprise some people. I'll do some more out of the NFC later, but we got to run to a break. Because when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. It's Thursday, and you know what that means. Fight Club! With the great Milanzo is up next. We'll revisit last week's SummerSlam. We'll get into the conversation about the big announcement made yesterday of the partnership with WWE and ESPN. All that more coming up. We'll talk some college ball on the way out the door. That's all coming up on the Big Daddy Brown Show. The Rob Brown Show is here on the Fan Upstate.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the often forgotten,
never forgotten
Fight Club.
And you know, we will fight about that.
Well, you want to put us back on stream, please? Because I thought I did.
Hi, stream.
You know, I'm kind of busy right now.
Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on Twitter and YouTube. Come join us on the live stream all 4 hours, all 5 days a week.
All right, lots of things to get to, including SummerSlam last week. Some people complained, say it wasn't that great of a PLE. I enjoyed it. I thought night one was stronger than night two, but night two definitely had its strong points. And I think they made enough money, which is really what it's all about, that they'll continue to do this. I still think that it diminishes the two nights for WrestleMania, but spreading these out means more chances for other names to get to wrestle. And I don't know, even back when I was younger, if I could handle two nights. I mean, going to a live event two nights. I know you could, but I'm not sure that I could.
I'll tell you right now, I still could. I would just be an absolute waste of space on Monday. I could still do it, but I will tell you right now, like if they do SummerSlam in Atlanta and it's 2 days, I'm going. I'm also using a vacation day on Monday.
All right. One of my biggest disappointments was when CM Punk won the title. I'm just like, But then that music that I hate and the wrestler who I cannot stand, but I like him more than I like CM Punk. What a ruse. What a, you know, in this day and age where kayfabe is supposedly dead, where you cannot hide anything, the WWE was able to fake an injury for Seth Rollins for weeks and it worked. Now, they'll be so, I knew he was faking the entire time. I forgot all about it because I knew he was injured. So it completely surprised me, and I think it surprised a lot of other people that he came out. And I thought it was cool.
To pull off a storyline like that, I think one thing that you have to have, and I do think that there are times, and I think this is a wonderful example of it, one of the things that a wrestling promotion has to be able to do is sleight of hand, right? Like if you ever watch a close-up magician work, an illusionist work, the way that most of their tricks work is to get you to look over here while they do the setup with the other hand, right? If you ever watch, whenever they like hold the ball up in the air and they get you to look at that, they're doing whatever the trick setup is with their other hand away from your eyeballs. That is kind of what they did here. And I think if you retroactively look at it after the injury, if you go back and you look at the status updates and all that, you will notice that it's relatively nondescript for Seth. Like, I'm not even saying he's not hurt. He may very well genuinely be hurt, just not that bad. Enough that they can put the belt on him, have Braun and Big Bronson Reed like just run defense for him for a couple of months while he fully heals up, whatever. But what they did was have so much focused in on Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker that we just kind of stopped thinking about slash talking about Seth Rollins, which made his music hitting and him taking that brace off that much more impactful. It was a perfectly executed sleight of hand for that cash-in. And while I have my own problems with CM Punk personally for some views that he has held and expressed away from wrestling and some positions that he was very quick to be the warrior on Twitter until he got paid, and then he's like, all of a sudden, all those things I said, sorry, Saudi Arabia.
You say it bothers you, but you've also said that you would be the first to take the call if they offered you enough money.
1,000%.
So they offered him enough
money. This is why. I don't say I hate the guy. I mean, hell, I can say I understand. But I think at the same time, CM Punk, like some other guys we've talked about, Cody Rhodes, to me, he's more interesting as the champ who feels like he's under somebody's thumb than he is as the contender who thinks he's under a thumb than the champ who has the belt.
But thanks to it, we got some wonderful reactions from Drew McIntyre.
Yes, we did. I prayed for this, and it finally happened.
Yes.
You also have now, congratulations, Punk did set a record, officially the shortest heavyweight championship reign in WWE history.
All right.
It was like 5 minutes and 11 seconds, which eclipsed the old record by, I believe, 2 seconds. If Seth would have taken 2 more seconds to get down that ramp, then Punk would not have that
He's
record.
He's in the history books with Santo Morella. And good for him. Good for him. All right. Bronson,
in a weird way, I'd be super proud to hold that record.
Yeah. Bronson Reed is a footy, and we did not know. And now we know. And here's the thing that I
know. Okay, wait. That's not the word to use right there.
It's not?
No.
Wait, no. He's a footy,
Rex
right?
Ryan is a footy.
No.
Bronson's
no.
a sneakerhead.
Oh, okay.
There's a big difference.
Why is there a difference?
Because footy guy is into feet. Sneakerhead's into shoes.
By the way.
And Rex Ryan and he are in different places.
We don't know that. Can you? I mean, obviously, there's a fascination with feet definitely a fascination with feet
There's a fascination with sneakers, not feet. It's like this. You know, I don't know that you're not a foothead, but it doesn't mean I'm going to come on the radio and be like, y'all, Lonzo's got a foot fetish, and unless he can prove me wrong, no, that's not how that works. If Bronson puts out a video like Rex Ryan where he's sniffing his lady's feet, we'll talk.
I'm not the one that doesn't want to look at feet. So, I mean, anyway, here's the thing. Speaking of looking at feet, he's footy because he takes those shoes off so he can see the feet. You can't prove that I'm wrong on that.
I think you can't but that doesn't mean you get to say it as if it is true, right? Like you don't say the thing is true until proven false. It's the other way around.
All right. Apparently I'm not up on the vernacular and I said it wrong.
That's why I'm here. That's why I got
just
you.
Okay.
No cap.
I'm glad that you know these things.
I'm here to help.
And that I don't. I'm really glad about that. So anyway, Bronson Reed is a footy and he keeps taking just one person's shoes, and that would be the OTC. Keeps taking Roman Reigns' shoes. And maybe it's because he wants Roman to keep coming back because he needs to get his shoes, because Roman, you know, wrestles and then goes away for like 6 months and then he comes back. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Maybe.
The dirt sheet reports right now are that this break after SummerSlam is the break where Roman is going to go start filming his parts of the Street Fighter movie.
Street Fighter, yeah.
And so he's going to be out for a while, and he's been written off. And my suspicion...
By the way, he's been advertised that he's going to be on Raw Monday.
Okay.
So I don't know how real
that's what I'm saying. I think the report is Monday is his hey, I'm out for a little while thing. My suspicion is that Roman's going to go away for a couple of months to film his Street Fighter stuff. My bet is he ends up with the title so that Cody can then go away and do his Street Fighter stuff. And then when Cody comes back, we'll have ourselves another campaign either between the two of them or something.
Yeah, it's predicted wonky. That would be them at WrestleMania again.
Exactly.
We'll see. All right. Brock Lesnar's return. It's making a lot of people upset, and I understand why. But from what I've read, this was requested by John Cena, that John Cena wanted to wrestle Brock Lesnar again in his final year.
I don't want to say it's a quote because I did not see the interview it came from, but I read yesterday that the take from Cena was, and I don't know if this was always the take or if this was a result from Dwayne wasting the biggest heel turn since Hogan in 96. The take attributed to Cena that I saw yesterday was he isn't super concerned who is across from him so much as it works for the company. I believe what was attributed to him was you set up who you want and I'll face it down kind of thing.
I'm pretty sure that Triple H said that Cena wanted to.
I mean, it might be true, but let's not pretend that Triple H wouldn't lie.
And I read that and are you not entertained? I read that. And I can't remember the article that I read it from. All right, let's move on in the interest of time.
For the record, I am one of those people that's upset he's back at this time.
Okay.
But that's not for here.
You know, he comes back for little stints and then he goes away.
It's not the part-timing that I have an issue with. It's the out-of-ring stuff.
Yeah, I got you. All right, the next thing is, and this will be controversial for Rob, not for me, Cody and John Cena gave the people what they wanted. And I loved it. And there are a lot of people out there that loved that Cena went back to being a babyface. He saw the error of his ways. This is what happens when you get entangled with Dwayne and Travis Scott. They're gonna gear you the wrong way. But if you listen to the people will bring you back into the fold where you need to be. And that happened. By the way, one of the best matches John Cena has had in a really long time.
The take I had on Sunday night was, that was a match that if it belonged to any other match on the card is an all-timer for me. It was a fun match as just a wrestling match independent of everything that happened in the story leading up to it. It is one of the most fun wrestling matches I've had in a while. I've enjoyed in a while. The takeaway for me was if you wanted a Cena face turn, I think it's there to happen. And I think there's a way to do it. But after all that happened with Dwayne and Travis Scott and the build-up and then nothing and then nothing and then nothing, short of, we did get some stellar promos out of heel John Cena during the run.
We did.
For him to come out on a Friday and just go, actually, guys, my bad, I'm a good guy again. Like, which was the promo? The promo was, yeah, I'm a good guy again.
I don't have a problem with it.
I did. Like,
you have some anger behind it. I mean, you can hear the emotion.
Yes, because it was the whole heel run, which should have been, I mean this, Johnny and Cena's heel turn and heel run should have been something that 30, 40 years from now, when you and I are drooling on ourselves in a home somewhere.
Dude, I'm going to be around 30 years. So I hope I am, but I mean, you know.
In a few years, when you're drooling on yourself in a home and I come to visit and we're talking about wrestling memories.
Let's be real here. 30 years from now, you know I'll be almost 87. So I'm just
saying. In some number of years from now, when Lonzo's drooling on himself in a home and I come to visit.
Could be next week.
And we talk about wrestling memories. We should have had the Cena heel turn and heel run up there with Hogan's heel turn and run with the NWO initially. Instead, what we are going to talk about was the most wasted heel turn of all time. I stand on that. The 7 months of John Cena being a heel and doing nothing but an occasional good promo with it, and then a random Friday night going, Cody put me through a table and it made me realize that I was a bad guy and I don't want to be a bad guy, so I'm a good guy now.
All right, the folks.
It was a waste of my
folks
time.
In the arena seemed to like it. All right, we got two more things to squeeze in really quick. Pat McAfee said via X, formerly known as Twitter, apparently you have to say that, great to see two powerhouses of sports and entertainment come together. I assume all the mid-level powerless bum bleep suits at ESPN will attempt to muddy this somehow. Out of context leaks, ignorant anonymous opinions, stuff like that. But in the end, this agreement will outlive the dinosaurs currently guarding desks in Bristol, and this deal will be great for ESPN. Cheers to the future.
All right. So putting aside the take on whether this is good or bad for ESPN, good or bad for WWE, let's start with the objective reality we know, which is Pat McAfee gets paid a buttload of money from both of those entities. Of course he's going to say it's good. I would too. Even if I didn't believe it, I'd go, yeah, this is amazing. The two companies that pay me ass loads of money now work together. That's great. I am even willing to accept that the heel heat from McAfee about the, quote, mid-level suits at ESPN, I'm even willing to believe that's real. We know that there have been some contention.
I believe that's real, for sure.
I am willing to believe that that is not a work, that that is real. Here's what I'm going to say, and I said this to Lonzo earlier in the show. If you want to be a WWE fan who watches everything, you now must have Netflix, cable, and $30 a month to pay ESPN. And I understand there's an access code that if you subscribe to ESPN
by the way,
on TV.
That was the other thing. According to Awful Announcing, if you already subscribe to ESPN through most pay TV providers, then you'll also be able to access the DTC streaming service and its features via authentication at no additional cost. This was stated in both the press release announcing the WWE ESPN deal as well as the announcement of the streaming service, August 21st launch date, and is explicitly laid out in the ESPN fact sheet regarding the DTC. So this really affects people like you who unplugged.
Well, let's hang on.
So if you unplugged, you got a problem.
Hang on. Let's go with this. Number one, if you are still plugged in, most of you, I believe, most of you do have to have some sort of add-on to have ESPN added into your regular life, because they're not a cable network. Like, they're not just in there. But so
most packages you get ESPN no matter what.
Add an element. Like, I can get a YouTube TV package that does not include the ESPN channels on it and would save me $7, $10.
We're just
a
talking
month.
About plugged in. But, so normal cable comes with ESPN. Normal Dish comes with ESPN. Normal DirecTV comes with ESPN.
But here's the thing. If they are going to, and I still do not know because this was not changed, if they are going to, as the UFC does, have an extra charge for the PLEs, which I don't think they are
because... By the way,
because,
they have said they're not going to.
They've said they're not going to.
I've read it several different places, and yes, they can change their mind. And Nick Khan, I just read something before we started Fight Club where he said that their people will follow them where they go.
That's absolutely their belief.
They would not make this change if they didn't believe that, because that would be dumb if they didn't think that.
But again, as I've said before, when it comes to the WWE, if they can get 30 people to pay them $10, or they can get 15 people to pay them $50, they'll take 15 people at $50 because it's more money. At the end of the day, that is the distinguishing feature. Just like college football, just like the NFL, money's the driver. If it is harder to access WWE, but they can charge you three times what they charge for half the people and make more money, that's what they're going to do. It's just how it's going to work.
All right,
so the point of all this is I'm really intrigued to see not what is initially coming down the pipe, but what changes get made over the first year.
All right, we have a couple months before the end of this year, more than a couple months, before this is implemented for WWE. But that service comes out, what, is it out like in the next week or so?
I have no idea.
I think it's the next week or so. So we're going to find, I'll be able to tell you if I have access or not. If me having Dish Network, if I automatically get access.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued, just like I am with the NFL. I've been asked three times during the case of the show. I'm going to talk some college football in the next segment because Cole Bryson had a take on the show a few minutes ago that I want to address. But I've been asked a couple of times what my take was on the ESPN NFL Network thing. I talked about it yesterday, but I'll talk about it again here in just a minute, very briefly. Then we talk some college ball. Then we call it a day on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Son of a 4-1. It's an ass whooping this week.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. You might as well call it.
Yeah. Unless Lonzo 28-3s himself tomorrow.
I've had bad days, not like what you're having today.
Oh, this is rough. 4-1 on the week. This is a bad one. The Rob Brown Show, the Big Daddy Brown Show, back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. I got a couple of things I don't want to knock out in like 5 minutes to knock it out. Stick with me. Let's rock and roll. Push the accelerator to the floor. Let's get to it. Somebody asked me, actually two people have asked me earlier in the show, what my take was on the ESPN NFL Network acquisition. Honestly, as far as ESPN taking over the NFL Network, NFL Network's on my screen for a handful of weeks. It's on my screen during preseason when they're at the camps. It's on my screen during the week during NFL season, and it is on my screen when there are games on the NFL Network, replays or live. And that's pretty much it. The only concern I have for the network itself is, are we going to get to a point where it's going to be next offseason, it's going to be, you know, NFC East Day, and instead of having a genuine conversation about what the Dallas Cowboys have, instead, I got Stephen A. Smith on there going, Dak Prescott ain't the guy. I know it is, brother, personally. And then I got to listen to that crap all over again. My big concern, my primary concern, my only concern is Red Zone. I put up a whole social media video. If you haven't seen it yet, go to our Facebook or Twitter page, Instagram as well. It's up there. But my takeaway was effectively this, and I'll short and sweet it the best I can. Don't change anything. Don't change anything. Do not turn NFL Red Zone into hot take theater. Do not turn it into a constant stream of advertisements where you are getting rid of the Octo Box and minimizing game screen so that you can pop another ad for, you know, flow from Progressive up. This is my sanctuary. This is where I come to watch football without hot takes. This is where I come to watch football without commercials. It's for 8 hours on a Sunday. You get the entire rest of the week, every hour, every minute, every day to do whatever you want. Please don't put it there. Please, 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 please don't put it there. Outside of that, whatever. Don't care all that much, all right? If game day starts turning into, all right, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Scott Hansen, Pittsburgh Steelers down inside the red zone taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Let's head there. And while we watch this, let's bring on Stephen A. Smith to talk about Aaron Rodgers' legacy. Well, let me tell you about Aaron Rodgers. I'll check out. That's it. That is my only concern. Do whatever you want to the net. I'll get over it. Please do not ruin the Sunday sanctuary, my sacred place, NFL Red Zone on Sundays. Let Scott Hansen, the American hero that he is, continue to be the American hero. That is my only request. I'll talk more about this tomorrow, but I'll give you a little tasty taste preview on the way out. Earlier in the hour, Cole Bryson did the public sports spin, and this week he is discussing the five reasons that he believes Clemson can win the national championship. And the first three, no issue with any of them. No issue with any of them. Today's I'm kind of interested in. He said that the reason, or that a reason, that Clemson can win the national championship this year is because of all of the truly considered contenders. He believes Clemson has the easiest schedule, the easiest path to get there. And I'm going to tell you right now, I pray that Dabo and Los Tigres don't have that mentality. I really do. Because, well, I do think the ACC is obviously not the SEC. I honestly, and I'll say this now, and we'll see if it bears out between here and the end of the week. I don't think the ACC is that far behind the Big Ten this year. I really don't. I think the Big Ten is better at the top. I think it's better with the, honestly, two or three teams at the top. Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon.
I cannot roll my eyes hard enough.
I know you can. I think at the end of the year, I will bear out this. I think that the Big Ten and the ACC are not as far apart as a lot of people want to make them out to be. Here's what I'll tell you about this schedule. That road game to Georgia Tech, you better be scared. Remember what happened last time you went there? They had you against the barrel for 3.5 quarters. That game against North Carolina, Lonzo's up on Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Heels. I'm not, but if they are what Lonzo thinks they are, you're telling me that road to North Carolina is not scary? SMU took Clemson to the wire last year. Duke, 9-win football team last year. Beat Clemson 2 years ago. Florida State, yeah, they're probably still bad, but like, are they 2-10 bad? No, I think they're a threat. at Louisville. Miller Moss is there. That team is going to score 48 points a game. That's a good Louisville team this year. And then you're on the road to South Carolina. I think two things. Number one, I think the ACC is closer to the Big Ten than they're being given credit for. And I think, number two, if Dabo and Los Tigres come into the season thinking all we got to worry about is LSU at the front and South Carolina at the back, and they overlook Georgia Tech, North Carolina, SMU, Duke, Florida State, Louisville in the middle, you might catch, as Lonzo said earlier, one of those dumb losses that are the reason Clemson's been left out in the past. I'll break that down more tomorrow.
The Big Ten's won the national championship a couple years in a row.
Which is
why the ACC has not sniffed it, nor shall they.
Which is why I am very happy to say the Big Ten is definitely better at the top. But if we look at the turtles all the way down,
here's the thing.
It's blow by
Clemson blow. Is the top of the ACC. There is no other team close to them. Hasn't been for a while.
No, SMU didn't take them down to the wire last year?
Did they win?
That just doesn't count.
Did they win?
Lonzo, they had to walk them off on a field goal in the final second of the game.
Did they win?
Is that all that matters?
Did they win?
Cool.
I wanted them to win. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wanted them to win, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. They didn't.
Okay.
People want me to play the kitten. I just got to say, James, I don't do requests.
Buckeye Mike said you know ball. WTF are you talking about? Mike, I'm going to make that. This is going to be a segment tomorrow. Mike, come back tomorrow. I'm going to make the argument and I'm going to win you over.
No, he's not. He probably will have the segment, but he's not going to win you over.
1,000%.
On the ACC, close to the Big Ten. That's
I didn't
funny.
Say better. I said close to.
Yeah, again, it makes me laugh every time. All right, the first thing that's X-ing is Lee Corso.
Lee Corso X-ing because I assume and I hope that there is nothing else to it.
Nothing wrong with him.
Okay, good.
Other than
that freaks me out a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. Pit of the stomach feeling there for just a second. Lee Corso is X-ing, I'm assuming, because we are inching ever closer to Lee Corso's final broadcast on College Game Day, which will be at Ohio State when the Longhorns visit the Buckeyes, the horse chestnuts, the Deers, at the beginning of the year.
Okay. It's his birthday.
Happy birthday, Coach.
He's 90 years old.
Good Lord. I know Lee doesn't look great, but I'm going to
keep
him
up. Come on. For 90, he looks good.
You know what I'm going to look like at 90? No, you don't, because there's about a 0.0% chance I'm on this side of the grass at 90. That a boy, Coach.
Fatalist.
That a boy, Coach.
All right. The next thing is X-ing is Bret Hart.
Bret the Hitman Hart. I do know why Bret's X-ing, because Bret, the excellence of execution, the best there was, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, went after Buddy of the show Gunther yesterday, said, I've told him to his face, the chops are bad. He's out there wrestling like he's trying to hurt somebody, and it's bull bleep. Bret, you know I got a lot of respect for who you are. I've always had your back in the Bret Hart versus Bill Goldberg conversation for years and years and years. I'm stepping out on you in this take, buddy.
Yeah,
stepping out on this take.
He also went after Hulk Hogan and other people, The reason why I'm going with, because he was asking for all that stuff, is he said CM Punk is the best wrestler in the game today.
As much as I have my issues with Punk, I genuinely don't have a problem with that take. As far as all around, and I'm including entertainer, I am talking personality, and I'm talking in-ring.
Something has changed. Will Ospreay is still the best wrestler in all of wrestling.
I find, and you know my affinity for Will Ospreay, dude is the best in-ring bell-to-bell wrestler in the world right now. I agree. But in terms of the character work, the drama, the stories, the lead-up and all that, as much as I have issues with him, I don't have a problem saying CM Punk is indeed the best in the world.
All right, the next thing that's X-ing is Howard Stern.
Howard Stern X-ing because yesterday, I don't know if it was announced or reported, but apparently the Howard Stern Show, which has been on radio since the, late 80s? Is coming to its conclusion soon. The Howard Stern Show will be ending. Listen, you can feel however you want to feel about Howard Stern, the dude, about Howard Stern, the show. Here is what I can tell you. While there have been some gross stuff on the show, while there's been some very inappropriate stuff, while there has been stuff that I feel, honestly, as much as you know me, I'm the dude who told you earlier, I'll go to strip clubs, I don't care. There's been some stuff on that show that I genuinely feel is, bad for the country, to be honest with you, over the years. That being said, what you cannot argue with is the fact that Howard Stern has, for decades, been the trendsetter for radio success.
You also can't argue with when your ratings drop, it doesn't matter who you are.
That is also true.
And that's how this game runs.
That is also true.
One final thing. Paul Heyman is X-ing.
Paul Heyman is X-ing because as people like me complained about the return of Brock Lesnar. Not that Brock's back. Just the timing and what's happening with Brock away from wrestling. Paul Heyman yesterday said Brock's back and, quote, you can't cancel him. As if you want, do you want to go to bat for the things Brock Lesnar is accused of doing, Paul? Because if that's what you want to do, have at
there's
it.
There's more to it than that. He sat down with Ariel Helwania, which I want to watch the entire interview. I didn't get a chance yesterday. I want to watch the whole thing. He said a bunch of things.
Sure.
That's one of them.
That is one of them. That is the one that,
but
as far
that's
as I'm
not
concerned,
a direct quote. That I think you...
That you can't cancel him? No, that is a direct quote.
I think you compressed you left out all the stuff around it.
Sure. But he said he's back and you can't
cancel him. I'm not defending Paul Heyman. I'm just saying, in the interest of time, you compressed.
I don't think I misconstrued what
he said. I think we should compress our way out of here.
That's it for us. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, it's your own fault. We got three games tonight. We'll break them all down tomorrow and set you up for the football weekend. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Later!
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.